Today's daf is Chaf Ches and Aleph, so we're in the top of the page, the new Mishnah. You're right on the top there, the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shokel Adam Basar Kenegad Akli. Person wants to, a butcher wants to sell some meat on Yantif. If you're allowed to sell meat, you just can't exchange money and you can't discuss prices. But you have to know when the Tavach sells the food, he has to know how much he's selling to collect the money afterwards. So he has to weigh it. So the Mishnah tells us, Rehuda holds, that a person could weigh the meat, connect a kli, I have a pot. So I say, okay, I weigh it, I have the meat equal the weight of the pot, and after Shabbos, after Yontif, I could figure out how much the pot weighs, and figure out how much meat I sold to collect the money afterwards. Oh, connect a kofitz, or you could use some type of, like a knife, a very heavy knife, you could use that to weigh up against the meat, to see how much meat was used. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. The reason why you can't weigh it exactly is because Rashi explains it's a ma'isachol. It's uvda dechol. It's not yontif-like. It's not Shabbos-like to weigh things using a regular manner. So, Chacham Omrim, ein mashkichin bekaf mazayim kolekar. Chacham say you can't use a scale at all. Not at all. You can't use it even with a kli against meat or a kofitz against a kli. You can't use anything. Explains the Gemara, my kolikar. What does it mean, Chacham, so you can't use a kolikar? Just say, ein mashkichin bekaf, mazayim. Don't use a scale. What does it mean, kolikar? So explains the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, afilu lishamro minach barim. Even if you want to use a scale for something other than weighing, you don't want to use it to weigh. You want to leave it on the scale high up so that the mice don't get to it. Even that's not allowed. It's something called, I guess it's viewed as muksa. So that's what they mean by kol ikar. You can't use it at all. It has no function on Shabbos, even for something other than weighing. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Idi bar Avin, v'hu detalya betrisa. It's talking about a case where you hang in a trisa. So Rashi explains that, it's very exactly, like a little ring they used to hang it on, so it looks like you're using it to weigh something. But if you, I'm not sure exactly what the explanation is, but if you don't use it with the ring, then it'll be permitted to be used. Let's see. Is there an explanation in the article exactly what the, or is there a picture?
There's not a picture. It says that apparently when you were really using the scale, you would hang it from some kind of ring. That's when you wanted to really use it. So he seems to think if it's hanging from something else, then you could use this,
Yeah, you could use it.
Yeah, I guess you could use it.
Because it doesn't look like you're weighing.
Because then you're not really weighing it. You're using it for some other purpose.
Okay. So only again, I don't appreciate the case, but only when you use such a ring, which is normally used for weighing, will it be a problem. But if you use it hanging in a different fashion, then you're allowed to put food there to protect it from the mice. The other thing, Gemara just has a list of number of halachas here. It's not really much of a flow here. Then the Gemara says, "Vamar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tavach Uman, a professional butcher, Aser Lishkol Baser Biyad. He can't even use his hand, like take meat in one hand and just weigh it up against. He knows how to weigh things. He can't even weigh with his instinct that he built up for himself. Because for him, during the week, even during the week, he would do that. So that looks like a weekday activity. Vamar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tavach Uman, Aser Lishkol Baser B'mayim." What you also can't do is you can't use water displacement. You can't place, you have a little jar of water, place the meat and see how much the water rises, tells you the volume of the meat, and you could figure out through displacement and other things how much the weight is. That's also forbidden. Any form of weighing, in a professional way, is usher as well. And then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, usher l'asus beis yad bebasar. Now, a different point related to meat, though, one cannot make on Yontif a beis yad, a little handle. They used to sometimes make a hole in the meat to hold it. Right, so Rashi explains, you cannot do that on Yontif. But, Amar Ravina, ubiyad ishari, but with your finger you can. I can't use a knife or a little other utensil to make a hole in the meat to grab onto it with a hook, but I could use my finger and dig my finger into the meat to make a hole. That's permitted because that's a unprofessional way. It doesn't look like it's uvda dechol. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna mutter lasa simin babasar." A person is allowed to make a simin. You can make some type of, you could shape the meat in a certain way in order to know that it's yours and doesn't get switched with another meat. Ki hod Rabba Bar Rav Huna, like Rabba Bar Huna used to do, mechatech atlas karnas. He used to make, there's a picture in Rashi, a little triangle there. He used to make his meat sliced in a triangle, like almost like a hamantashen. And Rashi explains the reason being, because he would send meat wherever he was, he'd send it back home, and they'd know it came from him. If it wasn't shaped like a triangle, they wouldn't trust it. That was his simen. So something like that, to make it, fashion it in such a simen way, a strange way, would be permitted to be a nantif. I'm not sure what the Hav means to think you couldn't do it, but that's what the Gemara tells you is permitted. Okay. So says the Gemara further, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi, these two Rabbanim, Shoklin Mana Kinegin Mana B'yamtof. They would take a meat and weigh it up against another meat. They would, Rashi explains, they used to buy meat together, and they'd sit, have a Suda together, and they divide the meat up. I take this, you take that. They want it to be fair. So they cut pieces of meat here, and then they weigh it against each other. And they say, okay, fine, this is even, I'll take this, you take that, and they continue to do that. So that was something that they would do on Yontif. So the Gemara says, come on, who do they hold like that permits this? Lo k'Rabbi Yehuda, lo k'Rabbanan. It can't be like Rabbi Yehuda, nor could it be like Rabbanan of our Mishnah. Why? Ik Rabbi Yehuda, if they were holding like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, ha'amar shokel adam b'basar k'neged kli o k'neged ha'kofetz. So he permitted you to weigh a kli up against the meat, but only a kli was permitted, but ha'kli in, k'neged kli in, only using a kli against the meat. But keneged midiachvini lo, but to use something other than a kli, to use meat itself, they never permitted that. So they can't be going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And ik Rabbanan, if they hold like Rabbanan in our Mishnah, ha amri ein mashkichen bekaf maznaim kolikr. Rabbanan said you can never use a scale. So certainly they don't hold like Rabbanan either. So who does Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Rabbi, which Tanaim, again they're Amorim, which Tanaim do they follow? They can't be those of our Mishnah. So explains the Gemara, Inhu David Kribi Yeshu. They hold like a third Tana that's not in our Mishnah, but a third Tana that's found in a Braisa, namely Rabbi Yeshua. The Tana Rabbi Yeshua, Omer Rabbi Yeshua holds. Shoklin Mana Kinegin Mana B'yamtif. He says explicitly a person can weigh one piece of meat up against another piece of meat on Yantif. That is the source of the custom of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon B'Rabbi. Yosef says, Halacha Kribi Yeshua, we passing like Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, that's how you follow. So the Gemara says, how do you know this? Because Ha'il, since Vitnam B'Bacharos, it tells us in the Mishnah in Maseches B'Bacharos, Kavase, we have a Mishnah Maseches B'Bacharos which follows Rabbi Yeshua. And whenever you have a Stam Mishnah which doesn't have an author, we pass it like a Stam Mishnah. So we'll see in a second, there's a Stam Mishnah, an unnamed Mishnah in B'Bacharos, which follows the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. So we see we must follow like Rabbi Yeshua. What's the Mishnah in B'Bacharos that follows Rabbi Yeshua? Mishnah says, Psulei HaMukdashim. What's Psulei HaMukdashim? If you have a carbon, I have a cow. I was makdish the cow for the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach. And before I was able to makriv, before I shechted the cow, it became a balmum. It's psulei mikdashim. It's now pasul. But it has kedusha because I was makdish it when it was a tam. It has kedusha, but now it's psulei mikdashim. What's the lacha of psulei mikdashim? What do you do with it? So the Gemara and Mishnah explains, Hana son lehekdesh. The Hana goes to hekdesh. When I have to redeem, there's kedusha on this cow. I can't bring it on Mizbeach anymore because it's a balmum. I have to be poda. I've got to redeem the value onto money. And now that money goes to Hektish. Hektish has to buy another animal. And the cow goes free. So the Hana goes to Hektish. We'll explain this in a second. Vishokun mana kinegin mana bibachor. And you're able to weigh the meat of against another meat when it comes to a bachor. So a little bit of background here. There's a long Rashi here. Should we read through this long Rashi? Yeah. Let's read for the Rashi. Yeah, we should go for it. Let's read to the Rashi. It's a good thing to do. We have a lot of time today. Look at Rashi. The Tanan Psulei Hamukdashin Hanasan Lehekdesh V'Shulkan Mana Kineg Mana B'Bachor. See that Rashi? It's around like 10 narrow lines up. Sefer Demasnisa Nakit. This is quoting the end of the Mishnah in Bachoros. V'Reisha Hachi Isa. This is what the beginning of the Mishnah says. Kol Psulei Mukdashin. Any of these animals that became pasul, a carbon that became pasul before being shechted, Nimkaren Be'itlas V'Nishkalen Be'Litra. Used to sell them in the marketplace, and they'd weigh them on these scales. Even though it seemed to be uvda d'chol, it was a bizayon to the kachim to sell go out to Gourmet Glad and start selling kachim in the marketplace. It's a bizayon, but they permitted you to do that, and you're able to weigh it up against certain things, even though you're weighing it up against the chulin objects. Right, exactly. Chutz, but all psul mikdashim were permitted. Chutz mina b'chor va meiser shanasan lebaylam, except for the b'chor. Well, what happens? A Bechor is as follows. A Bechor is the firstborn Behema Tahora. So I now have this Behema Tahora. And if it's a Tam, so then I give it to the Kohen to eat. The Kohen Shechs and eats it. If it becomes the Baal Mum, though, you don't bring it to the base. Make this, you could Shech, you could redeem the money. But I get to keep the money. And since I keep the money, and Meiser Behema also, I keep the money, they didn't permit me to make money by selling in the marketplace. I can't be Mevaza Kachim to make money for myself, since I keep it. Psuli Mikdashim, the money ultimately goes back to the Beis Hamikdash. So to make profit for the Beis Hamikdash, that's permitted. So I could take the meat that was once carbon, now Psuli Mikdashim, I could take it to the marketplace, where there's going to be a high demand for it, and I'm going to get a higher price because more people are looking for it. That's permitted to be Mevaza Kachim to make more money for Hekdash.
Why are people looking for it?
They want meat. It's a more, you have more people looking for it, so they're going to bid higher. If I'm trying to sell it out of my basement, less people are coming for it, so I got to have a lower price to bring people to me. But in the marketplace, I'm supply and demand, I don't know, you know better than I do, you're in business. But since the Hana goes to the Beis HaMikdash, you could sell the Psuli Mikdashim in the marketplace. Right, about Psuli, yeah, it's long, right? So let's see. Okay, so either way, this is a little bit of a background. Well, that'll be enough of Rashi for now. But what comes out of the Mishnah is, when it comes to the Bechor, I could take a piece of Bechor meat and another meat, and I could weigh them up against each other. And we don't say it's a bizayon, we don't say it's a problem at all. So just like that's permitted by the Bechor, so too we say it's permitted on Yontif as well, according to Rabbi Shua. I could take one meat, weigh it up against another meat.
That's not happening.
Right, so right now the Gemara assumes if we permit it by Bechor, it must be we permit it by Yontif also. That's the Gemara's assumption. The Gemara's about to say there are two different cases. You can't learn from Bechor to Yontif. So that's what the Gemara's about to say now. So the Gemara says, where are we? Amar Le'abai. Abai says, V'dilma lohi. Maybe it's not a good comparison between the two cases of Bechor and Yontif. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yeshua hacha. Maybe Rabbi Shua only says it here in the case of Yantif, he permits it. Because Rabbi Shua, we said explicitly in the Braisa, he explicitly says you could do mana keneged magna. Because there's no bizayon kachim at all. Weighing a meat against another meat on Yantif is permitted. There's no bizayon. Aval Hasim, whoever said Rabbi Shua admits you could do it in the case of the Bechor. Dika bizayon kachim. Lo, maybe Rabbi Shua, there's a Mishnah that says you could do that. In Mishnah. Whoever said Rabbi Shua is the person who writes the Mishnah. Rabbi Shua never said that you're allowed to do mana and keneged mana by Bechor. Maybe he wouldn't permit it because of Bizayon Kachim. So you can't bring a proof from that Mishnah Becharos that that's Rabbi Shua, and therefore we pass like Rabbi Shua by Yantif. Two different cases. Inami, alternatively, you could say a different way to distinguish. Ad kan lo kama Rabban Hasam ela Mishum de lo mechse kuv de nechol. Maybe Rabban only permit you to do it there by Bechor. Because it doesn't look like uv de dechol. When I measure up a meat, keneged meat, a bechor, it's not an uv de dechol. It's not a weekly act. Okay, it might be an issue of bizar and kachim, but nothing to do with uv de dechol. But hacha de mechzik uv de dechol, lo. When it comes to the case of yantif, it's about uv de dechol. And maybe only by bechor we permit it, but when it comes to yantif, to desecrate yantif, to mevavaza the ma'ados, that wouldn't be permitted. So therefore, it's not true. You can't compare the cases of bechor to the cases of yantif. And that's how the Gemara concludes. Okay, now the Gemara goes back to the case above. We said that Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Barevi used to split meat up evenly. They'd buy a cow and they'd take, okay, let's cut it up, let's weigh this meat even with each other, they weigh each other, you take that Rabbi Chiya, you take this Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara says, L'meimra, is this to say, the kaptei hadadei, that Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon were makbid on each other, they were so particular, we get the exact weight of meat, they really cared so much about this? V'ha hanu shav b'nesa, Dasul Bei Rebbe. There were, what, seven children? Or really, fish, rather, Rashi's. There were seven fish that came to the house of Rebbe. V'shtake chamesh minayu. Bei Rebbe Chiyev lo kapti, Rebbe Shimon Rebbe. So what happened here? So Rebbe Chiyev took five of the fish. And Rebbe Shimon was left with just two of them. And he didn't care. So it wasn't even 5-2. So we see a case here where they didn't care. So how above are we able to say that they were so makbid that the exact weight has to be the same? It doesn't make sense. Because the other case says one took five, the other one took two, and they didn't care. So answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Papa, Shadei Gavra Binai. We must have mixed up some of the people. It wasn't Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chiya, it was somebody else. Who was it? E Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi. E Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Bar Kapara. There was someone else. It wasn't those two. It was two other individuals. So you have to figure out who it was. So the suggestion of Papa says maybe it was really Rabbi Chiya, and not Rabbi Shimon, but really Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi. Or maybe it was Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi, but it was Bar Kapara, and not Rabbi Chiya. And therefore, there's not a stira within the two different stories. Next, Mishnah tells us, "Ein mashchizin as a sakin biyamtif." You can't sharpen the knife on yantif. Aval nasiu agavi chaverta. But what you can do is you can take two knives. I'm not sure what it's called, but a knife has a special thing to sharpen it, like a little circular thing to sharpen it. That's not allowed. But to take two knives and rub them against each other, that's permitted, because that's not so professional, that's not so uv de dechul. But to take the professional knife sharpener, that's usa to do on yantif. So Amar Rav Huna, lo shanu ela b'mash chezes shel evin. It's only true if you're using a stone, a metal type of sharpener. That's usa, because that really works well, and that looks like uv de dechul, a weekday activity. But to use a wooden sharpener, which doesn't, it's not so good, it doesn't work the best, it's not the best type of sharpener, that's permitted. Right. That which we said, it's also to use a metal sharpener. Lo amrin ela lechadada. It's only when we the intention, the kavana was to sharpen it. Aval lahavir sham nuneseh mutter, to remove the fats. They used to have a lot of fats in the oil. The Gemara's talk about this all the time. On the knife, had a lot of fats there. One of the reasons why you using a knife, you can't use share knives of a milk and meat, even though one might think it's clean, because we always assume there's fat and oil stuck to the knives. So let's say you want to just clean the knife. So that's permitted. You could even use a metal sharpener to clean the knife, as long as your intentions aren't to sharpen it, simply to clean it. That's according to the first approach of the Gemara. Michlal, the implication is, Dibishel eitz, afilu chadadada nami mutter. If you want to use a wooden sharpener, that's permitted even with the intention to sharpen. That's the first approach of the Gemara. There's going to be a few approaches. Try to keep track of all of them. Ika demasni, la seifa. Others have the statement of Rav Yehuda referring to the seifa of the Mishnah, meaning, the Sefer of the Mishnah told us, "Bishel eitz mutter." You could use a wooden sharpener on Yantif. Comes along Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, had Amar bishel eitz mutter. That which we said, you could use a wooden sharpener. Lo amrin ela lahavir shamnu nisa. It's only true when you're using it to remove the fats on the knife. Aval lechadada aser, but to sharpen it with a wooden sharpener, that's aser on Yantif.
But the Mishnah doesn't specify the yetz.
The Mishnah says. You're correct. So very good. So I guess what the Gemara says, the statement of Rav Huna in the Gemara, who really adds on to the Mishnah, they're viewing it as part of the Mishnah. It was so true. It was MS, it was Halacha, it really became part of the Mishnah, I guess. That's a very good point. Very good point. You're right. Look at the Rashi, two lines on the bottom. Asefa, just to prove your point here, two lines up. Yeah. Asefa, that's when Asefa usually means the Seif of the Mishnah. He says, no, the Milsa de Rav Huna. Rashi says, you're right. It doesn't. It's not really exact. It's not really referring to the Mishnah. It's referring to Rav Huna, who was the Seif of the Mishnah. But you're right. It's not so accurate the way the Gemara presents it. So again, according to this approach, what comes out is you can only use the wooden sharpener if your intentions are to clean the fats off the knife. But Michlal, the implication here is, though, Dibishel Evan Afil Lahavir Shamnunisa Aser, but to use a metal sharpener simply to remove the fat, that's Aser Nantif. This is a much more Machmir approach. That the wooden one's only permitted to remove fats, and the metal one's never permitted to be used at all. And now, Ik Demasnila Amasnitsin, now there's yet a different approach to the statement that goes back to our mission. The mission says, Ein Mashchizin Esasakin Biyamtif. You cannot sharpen a knife against it. Comes along Amar of Yehuda Mashmu. Lo shanu ela lechadada. This is only true. You cannot sharpen a knife on Yantif. Aval lahavir sham nunisa mutter, that to remove the fat from the knife, that is permitted. Mechlal da'al gav chaverta afil chadad einai mutter, comes to teach me that even using two knives with each other, that's permitted even to sharpen them. Now there's yet a fourth approach of this. The end of the mission, which told us you can take two knives and rub them up against each other to sharpen each other. On that, that's only permitted to remove the fats when rubbing the knives up against each other. But to sharpen them with each other, that's aser. But to sharpen it, use a sharpener, that's aser even to remove the fats. Okay, those are what?
But
Mishnah doesn't really clarify whether your intentions are to remove fat or to sharpen it. But is that talking about with intentions to sharpen it or intentions to remove fats? Right, so that's the Gemara comes to qualify what's the case it's talking about. So end up being four different approaches here. And if Adam was here, he'd have a field day with this. Wherever he is, he's learning it today, I'm sure, on his own. A field day, and these four different approaches, just lining them up, I get confused. But the four different approaches to how to read the statement of Shmuel, qualifying what, and it comes out four different solutions or conclusions. Okay, now the Gemara wants to know, Man Tana de Meshchezes Aser, who is the opinion that held sharpening on Yontif is actually Aser? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chissa tells us, De lo, Rabbi Yehuda. We don't know who it is, but we know who it's not. It's not Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The Tana, the Braisa teaches us, Ein ben Yontif l'Shabbos el ochel nefesh bilvad. Now, this is really a Mishnah in Megillah. Now, it's a Tanya, it's a Braisa. The Masar Sashat, the Mabach, rather, the Aleph there takes us, changes it to a Tanan. Tanan's a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Megillah tells us there's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos except for one, Ochel Nefesh Bavad. Meaning, Shabbos, you can't do anything, no Melach at all. Yom Tov, you could do Melach, that's related to eating. You could cook, you could shecht. That's all permitted. That's according to the Tanakhama. However, Rabbi Yehuda matir af machshir ochel nefesh. Not only does Rabbi Yehuda permit you to actually make food, but you could even do melachas to prepare foods. So, meaning, Rabbi Yehuda permits you to sharpen the knife. The sharpening of the knife isn't ochel nefesh, it's machshir ochel nefesh. The knife now that's sharpened allows me to shecht the meat. Shechting the meat is ochel nefesh. Sharpening the knife is machshir ochel nefesh. So, Rabbi Yehuda can't be our Mishnah. He would permit you to do the sharpening of the knife. So Amalei Rava says back to Rav Chisda, Darshinu Mishimcha Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Can I quote you, Rav Chisda? Can I quote in your name that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda? That Rabbi Yehuda permits you to do Machshir Ochel Nefesh? Amalei Rav Chisda says, Yehei Ruah, it should be Hiratzon, Techol Kihani Mile Malyasa Tedushin Mishmai. Yes, I hope and pray that this halacha you say always in my name. It's a big Indian, the Gemara talks about, I'm sure in Panemius also, what a big Indian it is to quote somebody, halachala, you quote someone in their name, what they said. The Gemara's talk about when after a person dies, and if he gets quoted, his lips move around in the kever, whatever that means exactly, but it comes to life whenever you quote Torah from their name. And anybody who quotes B'Shem Omra, the Gemara in Megillah tells us, maybe Gula Liyom, you bring Gula. Because the Gemara says that Esther said B'Shem Mordechai, she told Achashverosh in the name of Mordechai, what Mordechai said about Big Son of Esteresh, and the Geula came through that. So we see from there that saying B'Shem Amro, quoting somebody's name, brings Geula. So Chisda said, Hiratzon should be my will, your will, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu's will, that you should always quote my name when saying this halacha. Yes, the halacha is like Yehuda, that we allow Machshir Ochel Nefesh on Yantav. Says the Gemara, very last line on the Amud, Amar Rav Nechemya, Braid Rav Yosef, Hava Kamina Kamidi Rabba. I was once standing in front of Rava, Hava Kama Aver, and he was passing Lisakina Apuma de Dukula. He was rubbing the knife up against the tree to sharpen it. Rashi is really a basket, the lip of a basket. Vamilei Lechadada Ka Avimar, O Lehavir Sham Nunisa. So he asks, are you coming to sharpen or are you coming to remove the fat that was remaining on the knife? So Amrali, who is he talking to here again? Rava says to me, Lahavir Sham Nunisa, I'm coming to remove the fats off of the knife. I really was able to see, I told, he was lying to me. Rava really was doing it to sharpen it, but he told me only to remove the fats. Why? Kasavar halacha ve morinkin, because he felt that although the halacha you permitted to sharpen it, we don't publicize the halacha. There are a number of halachas like this, where halacha is one way, We don't like to publicize it, because if you publicize it, people end up interpreting it in a different way. Say, oh, that's permitted? Well, I could do this too, and I could do that too. A number of places in Shas say, halacha kein vein mor, halacha vein morin kein. This is one of the examples. Now, another thing comes out here is also, Rebbe was lying here. Mamar's lying. Rebbe said, oh, I was doing it for this reason. It wasn't emes. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us there are three instances, and there perhaps are more, where a Talmud Chacham is permitted to lie, right? So one of them is, if you ask him, did you ever learn Maseches Shabbos? He said, no, I didn't learn it. He could lie, because if you say, I learned Maseches Shabbos, I learned this, he can start asking a ton of questions, and he's going to be so busy. If we answer your questions, he won't have time for himself. Number two is, you can't talk about Tashmish. You ask about Purya, which is a bed, refers to Tashmish. You can't talk about, you could lie about instances of that. And the third thing is, if you stayed at a nice hotel, he says, how was the stay there? It was terrible. It was awful. Even though he had a great time, he's afraid, not talking about a hotel, but he stayed at somebody's house. A nice Baal Bus took him inside for the weekend. So if you tell him it's so great, everybody's going to want to go to the Baal Bus and stay there for Shabbos. The Baal Bus will have no time for himself and no time for his family. It wasn't such a good experience. Don't worry. So those are three instances you could lie. These are not one of the three instances.
So four instances.
Four, right. So then there are other times where lying is permitted. Another one that comes to mind, the Gemara in Yevamos, says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu lied. Also, I think Gemara Bava Metzia, the same Gemara appears twice, that Akash Baruch Hu lied. Akash Baruch Hu, whose chasima is emes, Sigmar tells us. He lied. When did he lie? With Avram and Sarah. Right? So Avram and Sarah. Avram said that, Sarah said that, you think my husband's going to have a child at his age? You kidding me? And Hashem goes back to Avram and said, yeah, Sarah thought she was too old to have a child. Too old, Avram. Not me, not Sarah. Hashem's changed the words that Sarah was complaining about herself, even though she really complained about Avram Avinu. So Gemara says, you see that you could lie for Shalom Bias. Gemara also says, no, it's possible that she lied. She said both of them. I'm too old and he's too old. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't lying. He just said one of the part, not the other part. Okay, either way. So we find a few instances where lying is permitted, but other than those few exceptions, one certainly should never lie. Okay. Says the Gemara now. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Hava Amina Kame Demar. Abaye is once standing in front of Mar. Hava Kamaver Sakina Asfasa Derachia. He was cleaning, or I guess, rubbing the knife up against the edge of a grinder, I guess, a mill of some sort. So Vamri Lei, so they said to him, L'chadada ka'abayimar? O l'haver shamnunisa, are you sharpening the knife or are you trying to clean the knife? Amri Lei, so he says to me, L'haver shamnunisa, I was coming to clean the, trying to clean the fats. But I saw it really did the chadada kavit. He was really doing this to sharpen, and he lied to me also because savar halacha vein morinkin. He also was of the opinion that it's halachically permitted to sharpen it. We just don't advertise such a psak halacha. Ibailu, we're asked the following question: Mahu laharos sakin lechacham biyamtiv? Are you allowed to show us a knife, a shechting knife, to a chacham on yamtiv? Now, why you have to show it to a chacham at all? So Gemara tells us that the halacha is that you're supposed to show a knife to a chacham before you use it, because if the knife has a slight pagam, a little bit of a, where it's not so sharp, it could create a psul. There are four psulim when doing shrita. I forget all the different psulim, but if you, it's not so even, a little thing sticks out, it yanks against the animal, it's not a clean cut, that's one of the psulim, so you have to show it to a chacham before him. So you're allowed to show it to a chacham on yontiv, though. Shrita is permitted. What about showing it? The concern Rashi explains, if you show it to a chacham, it sounds like an avshad debilsa. Avshad debilsa, Rashi says, that means it's a public event. It becomes so advertised, it sounds like you're selling something. It's a bizayon. I make a whole big fanfare. I'm shechting something in my backyard. I take the big shechting knife to the chacham. It makes too much of a big deal. We don't make a big deal of these things. It looks like it's you're going to the marketplace. It's too much of a too much noise. So are you allowed to show it to a chacham or not? So the Gemara says, Rav Mary Bray de Rav Bizna Shari. He permitted you to show it to a chacham, and Rabban Asri, the rest of the chachamim, forbade you from looking showing it to a chacham. Rav Yosef Amar, Talmud Chacham Roel Atmo Umashil Al Achim. What you can do is a Talmud Chacham who has his own set of knives could look at it on his own in his house. He has a knife, takes out the drill, looks at it, looks good. He can lend it to others. That's permitted. That won't create such a big commotion, as opposed to people coming to the Talmud Chacham's house and showing their knife, that's usher. But for him to check it on his own and lend it out, that's permitted. They felt that that wasn't such a avshad demilsa, wasn't such a, won't create so much fanfare. Amar of Yosef, sakin she'amda mutal chadada biyamtuf. So a knife that was amda, that amda means it stood from the harifus. It wasn't as sharp. It wasn't cutting as well as it used to be, but it didn't become nifgama yet. It wasn't yet ruined, but it wasn't as sharp. It was starting to get a little bit dull. So what's the halacha there? That's permitted to sharpen on yantav itself. So the whole discussion before, when we said the Mishnah was ein mashchizim, that must have been talking about a completely dull knife where it couldn't cut. You put it into the pizza meat, it doesn't do anything. A knife that's partially sharp, but not the as sharp as it could be, that says the halacha Gemara, according to Rav Yosef, you can, and that's the halacha, you can sharpen such a knife on yantav. V'hani milehu depaska agave or duchka. It's only true if it's able to cut a little bit. Duch means like the dochek, to push. If you place a knife on a piece of meat and it could start cutting a little bit, that's considered sharp enough where it's functional, where I am able to sharpen it even further. Okay, now Gemara says slightly different topic. Darish Rav Chista. Rav Chista, v'isemer Rav Yosef, others said it was Rav Yosef who was darishing the following halacha. Echad sakin shenifkama. So whether it's talking about a knife that became pogum, can't be used anymore, has a little bit of a dull part of the knife which doesn't work. Ve'echad shiput shenirtsam, or you have a skewer that became nirtsam. Nirtsam rashi nimach. It became like pulverized, but I'm not sure what that means exactly. Rashi says you stepped on it and it became crooked. It's not so usable. What does it say there?
The tip broke.
The tip broke, okay. I guess it doesn't go into the meat, it won't... Okay. I have here, maybe the tip of it, it's Rashi says, Shadarsu Allah v'nekam v'lo nishbar. People stepped on it, and it curved, it bent, but it didn't break. But there, maybe it's a different interpretation, I wonder.
That makes more sense. Because if it broke, still you can put the meat through.
Right.
If it bended, there's no way you will put the meat in.
It bent, you can't put the meat in.
Yeah, because it's with, you know, sharp edge. But when it's bent, so now it's round edge.
Uh-huh.
It's not sharp. How can it go? How can it penetrate?
Oh, I'm looking at different Rashi, that's why. Okay, I'm looking at different Rashi. Okay. Rashi earlier says what you said, based on the article, that it was the tip broke. Okay, the tip broke. That's what we're talking about now. The tip broke and you can't put meat on it anymore. I was looking at different Rashi. Where's that Rashi? Okay. That's it. Okay, fine. Now, echad grifas tanur v'kiraim, and also grifas tanur v'kiraim, so some of the tiach fell. I'm not sure what this is, what's the scenario here. What's ha-tiach?
Tiach shela, as osim al hakir, tiach.
The
grates? The grates?
No, I don't know what's grates. But tiach of tanur. When you make an oven, you're plating it with tiach.
Uh-huh.
The edges, in order for it, you know, to be effective. So it broke.
Okay, so you can't use it.
The
lining, okay. It's a lining, okay. So another lining. Okay. So the lining broke. So these three cases, whether it's a knife that became pogum, or a skewer that the tip broke off, or a oven that became dysfunctional because the lining cracked. All these scenarios, b'yomtuf, banu, it happens on yomtuf, banu l'machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. You are now going into, you're entering a big debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. Which one? That we saw before, the Tanya, which you really said was really a Tanan, Mishnah says, ain ben yomtuf the Shabbos el ochel nefesh b'lad. The only thing according to Tanakama that you can do on yomtuf is ochel nefesh, actual food, but not Machshiri. Rabbi Yehuda matir af machshiri ochel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda permits even machshiri. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could fix these three items. You could fix the knife, you could fix the skewer, you could fix the oven, because these are machshirim. According to Rabban, you couldn't do any of these because these are machshirim. That's the machlokas, Rabban, Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara wants to understand, what is machlokas based on whether machshiri ochel nefesh is permitted? So Gemara says as follows, my time at the Tanakhama, why did the Tanakhama only permit ochel nefesh but not machshiri ochel nefesh? So Gemara explains, Amar Kura, the Pasuk says, Hu levado yaseh lachem. Who, it alone can be done for your purposes. Who, it, the food, velo machshir, but not the preparations for the food. That's not allowed. That's the source according to Tanakhama.
Where's the Aleph?
It takes you to the side, usually the inside column, to the Pasuk, the entire Pasuk. You see that in the left column? Yeah. It quotes the entire. should be around there. Quotes the entire pasuk. Right. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Yehuda says, Amar Kra Lachem, Lachem Lachol Tarchechem. I mean, all your needs, even Machshir Ochon Nefesh, anything you need for food, even the oven, even the knife, even the skewer, is all permitted to be done according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakama, Hoksiv Lachem, what does the Tanakama do with the word Lachem? Rabbi Yehuda used Lachem to teach me everything's permitted. What did Lachem do according to Tanakama? Amalacha, the Rabbanim respond, Hahu Lachem l'nachem. To you, to exclude for the Goyim, you cannot cook for the Goyim, you can only cook for the Yid. V'idach nami hoksiv hu. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with the word who? Who was used by Rabbanim? How did Rabbi Yehuda respond to the word who? Amalacha ksiv hu, ksiv lachem. It says two words. Who is limiting? Who is it alone, nothing else? Lachem is more inclusive. So there's a stira. Who is limiting? Lachem is inclusive. How do you deal with a stira? Lokasha, kan b'machshirin she'ef sh'lasos me'er v'yomtif, kan b'machshirin she'ef sh'lasos me'er v'yomtif. Not all machshirin is permitted. Only machshirin that cannot be done erev yomtif may be done in yomtif. If the knife broke today, I couldn't do it yesterday, it wasn't broken yesterday, it broke today, or if the oven broke today, that's permitted. But if the knife was broken erev yomtif, the oven was broken erev yomtif, I can't do it on yomtif, I have to do it erev yomtif. That's the difference. Who says only things that, who means only things that cannot be done erev yomtif can be done today? So that's how you deal with the two different, it's not all machshirin, only certain ones that were impossible to be fixed erev yomtif. Says the Gemara further now, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shiput Shenirtaf Aser. That's what I was talking about before. Nirtaf here means that it bent but didn't break. That's what Rashi says in this case. Right. Exactly. So it bent a little bit, out of shape. Aser L'Sakna B'Yomtif. You cannot fix it. You can't put it back into shape. You can't straighten it up on Yomtif according to Shmuel. Shooting West is pretty obvious. You can't do that because by you fixing it, you would be being misakin mana. You're fixing something on Yantif. So Gemara says, she says a different reason. Rashi says, actually, it's called a tircha de lo tsarach. Even though it's bent, you could still use it. You could put them on. You put on it because it's a little easy, but you kind of slide it around. You know, you ever go to the doctor's office and you know, the kids play those little like things on the tubes and try to get the things. Same thing. It follows a path. So you put a little chicken, a little baby chicken, slide on the skewer, and yeah. So it still works. So by you bending it back into shape straight, that's tircha de lo tsarach. It's unnecessary. It's convenient for you, but it's tircha. It takes effort, and tircha is not permitted on yantif. So where it says pshita, that seems pretty obvious. We would know that. But it says lo tsricha, no. Da'af agav de mafshit biyode. No, because even though it's easy, some metal is easy to bend back into place without using a hammer. You can just bend it back. Actually, I was cutting challah yesterday, and my silver challah knife cracked. I was using it and it just cracked for 10 years.
You hit the keys.
we didn't have a key in it, but yeah. The whole thing cracked. Inside, it's plastic inside. Maybe all of them are like this. It was like a very tiny sheet of silver on the outside of the handle. Inside was all plastic. It just cracked. 10 years I had this. I have a few other knives, but this one of 10 years, it broke. So certain metals aren't made that strong. You could just bend it back. Mine bent out of place, but you could bend them sometimes back into place. So maybe you'd think, since I don't need a hammer to hit it back into place, my hands alone is enough. Maybe that's permitted because it's not so much tircha. Kamashman to teach me that even that's usur.
Sounds like a big deal. I want to check it out.
What?
I'll look into it.
What?
Ask a chacham what that means.
Well, what means?
That you broke while you cut the piece of Shabbos.
Okay, I think it's a bad simon, you think?
No, nefer. Good simon. If I knew, I would tell you. I don't know
what to ask.
I was thinking you should go back and say, who gave you that wedding present? Engagement present?
I have no way I remember that. No way. My wife has a record of these things.
Ask us. Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk. Says the Gemara V'amar Rav Yehuda Mashmul Shiput Shetzila Babasar. I had a little skewer I was using to roast some chicken on my grill. It's aser to use that on yantif, meaning after I took the chicken off the skewer, now the skewer is just very dirty and oily and black, it's no longer permitted to be used because it's disgusting now. It's muksa. It's mius. It's disgusting, so we leave it aside. Rav Ada bar Ava Amar Rav Malkio, Shomto Menicha Bekaren Zav, you are able to move it and put it off to the corner because it's dangerous. The skewer is very sharp, and to have it lying down on the floor is very dangerous for children. So you're allowed to move it to a place of safety, or safety that others are safe from it. And Amar Rav Chia, and Barashi Amar Rav Huna, Vahushiyesh Alav Kazayis Basar, he permits you to, as long as there's still a basar, Kazayis Basar left on the skewer, because then it still is not muksa, it has a function. But if it's completely clean of any basar, then it's us to move because of muksa. However, Ravina Amar, and this is how we paskin, Afa Pisha Ein Ala Basar Mutl Tatl Miad Midi Dehavia Kot Sprisharabim. You are able to move it, even though there might be no meat left on it, you can move it. Just like if there's a thorn in the Rishis Rabbim, and someone might step in it and it might be dangerous, you're allowed to move it. Even though it's muksa, you can move it off to the side. So it's also a skewer in your house left on the floor is dangerous for the kids. If, let's say, glass breaks, even though glass is muksa and it shatters, there's no purpose for it, you're allowed to clean up the floor because it's very dangerous for the kids. So that's the halacha. The Gemara says, we quoted above a statement in the name of Rav Malkiah. That was his name, Rav Malkiah, with a vav at the end. Yeah, Rav Malkiah was the one who said you're allowed to move it off to the side, place it into the corner. That was the opinion of Rav Malkiah. Yeah, just two lines above. See Rav Malkiah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 narrow lines up. It says Amar Rav Malkiah. See, first word on the line is Amar. Amar Rav Malkiah. That's his name, Malkiah, with a vav at the end. So Amar Rav Chinina Brei D'Raviki. He says the following. Shipur, that's a sugya, a name of a sugya, that's a concept. Shvachos, another sugya. Vagomos, so those three topics, Rav Malkiah said them. Rav Malkiah with a vav. Blorius, which is a different sugya, I'll explain if you want in a second. Efer Makla, Gvina, three different sugyas. Rav Malkiah with an aleph is the one who said that. Since the names were so similar, one with the vav, one with the aleph, they sometimes confused who said what. So here Rav Chinina is telling us, no, these three sugyas were said of Rav Malkiah, and these other three sugyas were stated by Rav Malkiah. That's what he says. And the Rashi goes through each case what it's talking about. Well, this Gemara also appears in a number of places in Shas. According to Masorah Shas here, this comes up 1, 2, 3, 4 places in Shas. Okay. Rav Papa Amar, Masnisan Umasnisa Rav Malkiah. The Mishnah and Brisa, which was a Tanaic source by Tanaim, that was authored by Rav Malkiah. Rav Malkiah was a Tana. Shmaitza, which is a reference to a Gemara, that was written by Rav Malkiah. So Rav Malkiah was the Amora, and Rav Malkiah was the Tana. That's how we know the difference. And Simanach, the mnemonic for you to remember, is Masnisan Malchasa. Masnisan Malchasa. That statement, Masnisan Malchasa, I guess that the Mishnah is... Mishnah is the king. What does that statement even mean? The queen or Machsa, queen. So I guess that the Mishnahs are so chashiv, like kings and queens. That's just a statement. I guess create the statement. So Machsa ends with an aleph to remind you that Rav Malkiah ending with an aleph is the one who authored all of those found in the Mishnah. My Binayu, what's the nafkamina between these? Rav Chinina and Rav Papa. Rav Chinina says one distinction, Rav Papa says a different distinction. Is there a difference? Or are they just saying two different ways to categorize them? The difference is, Ika B'nai is Shvachos. Shvachos is the difference, because Shvachos is written in the Mishnah. So according to Rav Papa, Rav Malkiah was the author. But Rav Chinina listed Shvachos that Rav Malkiah authored it. So that's the nafkamina between these two approaches. Okay. Let's go. Should we go one more to the Mishnah? There's a few lines. Up to you. It's a quick one. It's 43. Let's go. We'll go a few lines into the next page. It's a very quick Mishnah. The Mishnah says, new Mishnah. Lo yomar adam letaveach shakol li bedinar basar. The person shouldn't go over to the shochet on yontiv and say, could you give me $10 worth of meat? You can't say that. But aval shochet mechalik benim. But he could shech for you, and you could divide it up, and you could say, 50% goes to this person, 50% goes to this person, but you can't mention numbers. You can't mention dollars. Exactly. Right. You can't mention the numbers, the money. So how are you supposed to do it? So, Let's say a person wants to get he wants the ribeye. He doesn't want the whole cow. Shochet shechs the entire cow. I can't afford the whole cow. I can't eat the whole cow. I just want the steak. I want the ribeye. I want the ribs. How am I supposed to do that? What's the best way to do it? I can't say $10 of meat. I want just some of the meat. Hey, Chiyavid, what are you supposed to do? He's supposed to do as follows. He holds the surah. In surah, what they used to do is, Amre tarta upalga. Tarta. You would say tarta, which is, I guess, a certain weight. It's a weight, yeah? It's a mishkal? Okay. Oh, it's a part, it's a basam yuchad or it's a mishkal? Okay. So tarta is a weight. So give me the weight of this tarta or half a tarta. Yeah. Or bargish, Amri. So bargish. Binarish, I mean, a different place called Binarish, they would say, Chalko palga chalka. Give me this amount or half of that amount. And from Fadis Amri, Uzia upalga Uzia. What?
Chalka is type. Give me this type of meat.
That meat. It's like a rib or something.
Yeah.
Does it say there what type of meat it's referring to or? No?
It just talks about, he only mentions the tarta, which was just a standard cut of meat.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't say how much, it doesn't say how, that it was a certain weight, it was just a certain size.
Okay, certain sizes.
It doesn't say how the others are different.
Okay, so each area, each community, right, and the Gemara didn't say, just lists what people used to say. In Pabadisa, they would say, Uzio upalgi Uzio, whatever Uzio means. And Benar pocket Vimasa Maksa Amri Rava Palgi Rava. Okay, so the different, it's either size or a weight or a type of meat, but you go to the butcher, you say, okay, I'd like to have, the shoulders, let's say. And then he gives you the shoulders, and you figure out the numbers afterwards. Okay.
Go ahead.
Have a good day.